Hey everybody, Matt Michaels here on the DeFalco Files with the owner and creator of FSW, the Future Stars of Wrestling here in Las Vegas, Mr. Joe DeFalco. And Joe, it is getting pretty hot out here, and as it heats up, we're getting closer to the hottest event of the summer. The anniversary show, 15 years and counting, huh?
Yeah, I just made a big post about it, you know, that the anniversary show, regardless of No Escape, is a big show. And the anniversary shows are WrestleMania, you know, it's right. it celebrates, it's the anniversary. Hey, we started. And it's like each year it just gets bigger and bigger. And it's like, you know, and it, whether it is or not, but each anniversary, as I say, becomes the biggest show in our history. You know, so we're going on 15 years. That's a big number, you know, 13, 14, you know, 5, 10, 15, 20. It's like I've always been one for numbers to be kind of like, hey, like when somebody makes a payment or things like that, it's like, you know, why is it $85? You know what I mean? It's like, you know, I always like an even number, even though, you know, 75 is not an even number. It's just, you know, so when it comes to that, I'm always big with the numbers. When I'm counting money, it's like, you know, you like to have it in a certain way. So numbers have always been, I don't know, intriguing, you know, however it is. So the 15th anniversary to me has to be the biggest show. You know, it was weird because the biggest show we ever did was the 10th anniversary show, and we went crazy doing $10 tickets, and the students sold so many that we literally had, you know, almost 1,000 people at Sam's Town, you know. And then it was like pandemic hit, so the 11th and 12th, you know, or I don't even remember anymore at this point. But yeah, if it was 2020, we're 4 years later. So yeah, when we did 2021, that was the 11th and 12th anniversary. So we kind of combined it because it's how many years you're doing it. It's not how many shows you did. So now we come up to the 15th anniversary, and Chris Bay had a good idea about the Mecca, and we have an announcement that you know, the video will be out. Hopefully the video will be out before this airs, but Hammerstone has accepted the challenge. So you're basically looking at two of the greatest champions in FSW history. They've had, you know, matches at Against All Odds where Chris Bay two different times lost the opportunity when he won the Rumble. Then he won the Rumble again, and he beat Hammerstone. And these are the homegrown talent. And it's funny that now they are together again in TNA. And, you know, for years, you know, Hammerstone was the first guy that I was trying to, man, why can't we get Hammerstone signed? You know, trying to do the thing. And then Bay got signed, and then Hammerstone went to MLW. So, you know, we're looking forward to that match. And when it comes to, you know, show-wise, you know, we were ready to announce Brittany Brooks versus Rochelle in a last woman standing match. And then I got horrible news from Brittany that she fucked up her knee. Yeah. And she still wants to try to give it a go. She had an MRI. Or she's having one this week, but she can barely walk on it. But she's hoping, you know, 12, 11, 10 days beforehand. But it's like, I let her know. It's like, you know, I'm in scramble mode. You know, we got to have a women's match at the anniversary. I can't have no, you know, Rochelle's ready to go. So I'm trying to see who's around. What can we do? You know, hey, maybe Jordan Grace wants a match. You never know what we're going to do for that. So we got the Hall of Fame ceremony on the Saturday, and Alcatraz and Rush, and we're trying to get Tyshawn back, you know, for the appearance. And, you know, that's always successful, and figuring out the food and figuring it out now because we actually have the ring there. So the idea is with a podium and the microphones and everything will be inside the ring. And instead of chairs around the ring, you know, we'll have the tables, because the idea was for the first time to have some, you know, of the future stars, you know, the top future shock people, you know, maybe do like three matches, you know, for that. But while we're doing that, you know, we just had the big announcement. Santana has been, not Santana Jackson, but the former AEW, LAX, you know, one of the top wrestlers. Santana is going to be the first representative of House of Glory for our show in August. Right. And by the time it is, you know, put out there, the podcast, we probably will have Chris Bay, Kenny King, and Amazing Red announced for the show. And, you know, we think that's going to be a huge show as we try to set up the year of FSW versus the world, as we're working with some other major companies about doing some joint shows at the FSW arena. So, you know, there's so much shit going on, you know, it's kind of crazy. And it's like, you know, Front Row is kind of, you know, rolling along. And we're already at the numbers that are closing in on selling it out. You know, we put down 85. We try to get 90. If you add everything up, we're pretty close. You know, some of you are waiting on payments. But, you know, one of our regulars, he brings in for the casino shows 11, 12. He's up to 17 for this show. In the Furman crew, and this guy Jamie, he got six more for the show. So we definitely know we're going to get to that 90 Front Row for sure. And, you know, the key is always, it's never been the Front Row at the casino show. It's like, okay, how many tickets are the kids that are going to sell? They're going to get their opportunities. You know, there's going to be a lot of guys who have never been on a casino show. And maybe last year's Battle Royal was their first experience at a casino show. So this year it's probably going to be 25 guys. We got Sin Bodhi, you know, wanted to be a part of it. I'm like, bro, I got no match, you know, love to have you in the Battle Royal. You know, guys like Fresco and Watson, no match. They lost their tag time opportunity.
Right.
And they'll be in there, and Santana Jackson and Bret the Threat, and, you know, a lot of our top tier, Jimmy Jack, you know, a lot of top tier guys. And then, of course, that Future Shock crew, you know, with the Mariachis and the AJs and Fox and Adrian Rain and numerous others are going to get an opportunity. So, and we're also trying to bring back some names from the past. Hopefully we'll return for this event. So, you know, it's a celebration. So we try to bring in as many people as we can. We have Melissa Santos, one of the best ring announcers around. She is going to be the ring announcer for our anniversary show.
Awesome.
Brian Cage, you know, hooked it up. Unfortunately, love to have Brian there, but he's going to be in Australia that weekend. So the key is trying to get, you know, we got the meet and greet, reaching out to a guy like Sabu or Greg the Hammer Valentine and see, hey, guys, you know, we're going to have some people there. If you'd like to make an appearance, love to have you. So.
When you look at putting the card itself together, again, you know, with the Battle Royal being something that kind of
man, this is a difficult question. Deep thoughts here.
with the you know, having to place the battle royal, usually that's pretty much first, right, on this show.
Yeah, because, you know, time wise, even though they're all, hey, Adrian Rain, and you wait 3 seconds and you announce the name. But right. 25 names for 5 seconds is 2 minutes before the match has even started, right. You know, and that's a long show. So what we do is, which what I learned by putting the scramble first, is you introduce everybody, and that way we can start right at 5 o'clock. So all 25 guys will be in the ring, all the introductions, we'll play the opening video, boom, bell rings. Because every minute kind of counts. And at a battle royal, we got, you know, it's not a rumble, so it's a battle royal. Everybody's in there at one time. So last year's debacle, I remember the probably went 22 minutes. Longest fucking battle royal. And WWE does a battle royal for like a number one contender with 10 or 15 guys, and it lasts like 5 minutes, 6 minutes. You're throwing people over. It's like, what the fuck is going on in this motherfucker? You know, literally. And it's like, wow. So, you know, the key is having the veterans in there and making sure they toss out the trash. You know what I'm saying?
Well, it's going to be an interesting it's definitely going to be an interesting battle royal for sure. With, you know, again, like you said, a lot of talent who don't have matches.
Gypsy Mac, you know, trying to get that doesn't mean she's the only woman that is going to be in the match. You know, it's like we're trying to fill the role, and you know, she's a major part of FSW these days. So it's like, well, I'm not going to just leave her off the show.
You know, and that brings the question you were kind of talking about, scrambling to find someone for Rochelle. You know, what realistically, when you look at it, how hard is it when you're looking at, it's not necessarily the idea of who could do it, because there's plenty of people who can, you know, go in and give a great match, you know, with Rochelle. But really, it comes down to, here you are only essentially, you know, everyone everyone is, you know, is booked out usually 2, 3, 4 weeks in advance.
Yeah, you know, Sundays are usually a good day, you know. Most people that are booked 3 or 4 Fridays and Saturdays are usually only booked right. 1 or 2 Sundays. But, you know, what do? Hey, Billy Starks. Hey, Jordan Grace. Hey, you know, if you want to bring in a big name when you don't know if Brittany Brooks is not going to be there, you can't really reach out. So it makes it difficult. And then the question becomes, who is going to believe the person that you bring in? You know, my personal opinion is, if Brittany can't go, we still should have a top-notch match. Right. You know, there's people available, you know. I know it's crazy. It's like, Hudson Envy, who used to work for us, had some concussion issues in Japan. She's decided she wants to come back in wrestling. I saw her at the school. You know, she happened to be in town, you know, a month ago. But the thing is, it's like, as successful as she was and had her run in FSW, you know, that was 6, 7 years ago. You know, most people don't know who she is.
Right.
And if you're bringing in a surprise and it's like, oh, shit. Holy crap, it's Billy Starks. Holy crap, it's this person.
Right.
You know, nobody's going to be like, holy crap, it's whoever that wrestled for us once and is predominantly known in Arizona. You know what I mean? It's like, Zamaya's awesome. Well, she just lost to Maz. Why is she going to get a title shot?
Right.
You know, why is Maz going to get a title shot? Her and Rochelle, do they want to fight each other? I don't know. Does it make it hey, maybe we do at this point, if there's no Brittany, we do a tag team match, Rochelle and Moz against Makeshift Chemistry. I don't know. You know what I mean? There's so many options to throw into that mix that, well, does it have to be a women's title match? Could it be a women's tag? Could it be an intergender tag? Could it be four-way? I don't know. You know what I mean?
Could that women's title be up in a tag match between Makeshift Chemistry and Rochelle and Moz, and whoever gets the pin is the new women's champ?
Yeah, probably not in that one. Like, I have one crazy thought, and it's a crazy thought, and I think the crowd would go fucking nuts, but that might be the fucking, it might be the time to pull an old trigger. So, you know, the thought process now is like, I have to go in my mind. She's like, well, you know, I really want to make it. I'm like, I understand. Like, I want you to be there, but I have to have a backup plan.
Right.
You know, you're going online. You're the ones like, and I'm like, you know, I'm asking questions that I don't really know the answers to.
Right.
You know, I'm in that situation. It's like, okay, I saw Cody Rhodes wrestle. I've seen a lot of people wrestle injured, and after the match, CM Punk, whatever it was, that they were going to get surgery. And we knew they were going to get surgery. And the wording with Cody Rhodes was he couldn't damage his tricep any worse than it already was. So right. I don't know. It's like, I get it. You're waiting on the MRI and the results and all the other stuff. When you take it, it might take a week to get the MRI. But if you're able to move on it and you're willing to do it, I'm not telling you what you have to do, what you need to do, but it's like, I don't know. I'm asking the question. Can you damage it any worse if you wrestle one more match? You know what I mean? It's like, right. You know, I want to give her the opportunity to work. I don't need her to ruin her career at 19 years old by keep working on a bad knee, obviously. But
well, that's a great question, though. I think that's a very good question. And that is, and it's something that no other, like, if you look at sports, right, everyone is typically signed to some team, right? So if you're playing in the minor leagues, you're playing in the major league, someone's taking care of that situation, right? There's doctors, there's an investment, etc. In pro wrestling, you're your own investment. You're your own brand until you're under the banner of a company. If you are like, yeah, you know, I just want to make sure you're okay and we're going to handle it this certain way, but then she still goes out and wrestles three other matches other places, that becomes the question is, you know, you're smart in terms of thinking like that, but at that age and at that desire and passion to go where you want to go, does sometimes that thinking override the honest answer, which is you got to sometimes just back off for a couple months so that you still have 3 years on the end? You know what I'm saying? Because you could put yourself in a bad position by maybe, you know, putting yourself out there and extending that injury and then eventually having to get that surgery when maybe it could have been avoided. It's really a tough call for them.
Okay, and let's look at this scenario. Okay, I'm going to give it a shot. I win the match. Oh, hey, Joe, I got to get surgery. I'm out 7 months.
Right, there goes the belt. Well,
now we got to take the belt off her anyway. Right. You know what I'm saying? So, you know, it's crazy to say because, you know, what was I watching? Oh, I just started watching on Hulu the Clippers story, you know, and the franchise is cursed and the franchise is cursed. And we jokingly have talked about the women's title being cursed.
Right.
You know, Lacey Ryan, Zoe. Hey, Joe, I am just got signed. I'm leaving in 3 weeks. Right. And there was no buildup, and we had to move the belt. And then we moved the belt again, and then the person decided didn't want to wrestle for FSW
anymore. Right.
Had to give up the belt. Then we finally had a tournament. Viva Van won. Everything was great. We do a show at the Silver Nugget. She doesn't show up. The fucking road from Vegas, from California, is closed, and she's stuck on a highway for 6 hours.
Right.
Like, what the fuck? So then it's just clusterfuck after clusterfuck. Now we're having the big match, the rematch, the last woman standing match. And it's like, that's up in the air. And it's like, with all our other championships, if you add them all up, and again, there's always an issue here and there, but there's been more issues with the women's title than probably all those other championships combined.
Right.
Like the heavyweight title, when Modest won, he was a last-minute replacement because Nightkirk canceled and Modest beat Kenny for the title. You know, right. I remember that. You know, tag titles, I remember Royce had to leave. He was going to NWA. And I'm not even sure if the tag titles were on the line because I think, yeah, no, they weren't because Tito and Che beat Royce and Jarrell in probably 2019 before everything shut down, but Royce had signed with NWA. But with the women's thing, we probably had 4 or 5 different issues going into matches and changing and injuries and whatever it was, signings, you know. So, you know, all you can do is move forward. You know, I don't panic about these anymore. It's like the second I hear it, like, hey, Joe, I got some bad news. It's like, ah, what the fuck? And then it was like, I'm like, oh, man, I hope it isn't horrible news like you got signed to WWE. That would be horrible. So it's just like now the wheels immediately have to turn. Now you could tell me, she could have told me 4 days later, hey, it's all good. It was just a bruise. I'm good to go. But it doesn't matter. My mindset is like, okay, I've been through this 1,000 times. I have to now get plans in the works to what we're going to do next. This is the anniversary show. We ain't fucking around. You know, I remember in the beginning, man, there was so many times like, hey, I can't make it. All this happened. It's like, what the fuck? It's always something.
Right.
You know, my motto, it's always something, has been used for many, many years. And the truth is, it's always something. So you either adapt, you know, and that's the issue with a lot of people, that they focus on, oh, this happened. Okay, well, what, we got no other shot. Let's fucking move forward. Who gives a fuck?
Right.
You know, there's nothing you can do about it. Can we do something about it? Yeah, we can find a replacement. Hey, you know, if Brittany Brooks in 4 days beforehand still can't go, I need to get somebody. Now, what happens? Well, I guess if she's able to go, it's a triple threat match. Sure. I'd rather have a triple threat match than no match.
Right. Right. And I mean, obviously, circumstances dictate storytelling in the match. So, I mean, when you have someone who is, the reasoning being that it's going to be a three-way, then because of the fact that the challenger does have a known injury, well, then of course the story becomes working that injury and taking advantage of that person, you know.
If you don't, then it looks weak.
Right. Exactly.
You're trying to bring as much realism to it.
Yeah.
And, you know, in wrestling, everybody, oh, you know, that person's going to get surgery on the knee. Well, they try to not tell you what knee it is. And then if they do the angle in the back and they lay the person out, it's, you know, the other knee.
You're right.
Well, she's already told us what knee it is. So now it looks kind of bogus because normally it's like, oh, okay. usually they play into the angle, like with Mysterio getting injured. Right. Well, we already knew, found out later, it's wrestling. It's not a secret. Rey Mysterio was injured. He was going to get surgery. They had to work an angle.
Right.
But they're not going to fucking tear up his bad fucking knee that he's getting surgery on.
Right.
And how moronic could you be? But it's like, hey, everybody, you know, my left knee's fucked up, blah, 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 blah. Oh, my God, Brittany Brooks, look at Rochelle work on that right knee. Oh, and it's like, oh, wait, didn't she say left knee? Like, if you don't know, then you don't know.
Right.
Well, again, we're forcing you to suspend belief. You can't suspend belief if you've already been told. So, you know, there's a lot of weirdness and kind of odd when it comes to like legitimacy and the injuries, right. Because it is part of it. It is part of the sport, even though it's, you know, predetermined, as they like to say.
And I think, too, the other thing that kind of gets lost now, because social media is, you know, how all this stuff comes out from the people themselves, not even, you know, through leak sources or news reporters, quote unquote. But what's interesting to me is that sometimes you have to think about it before you say it. And the reason being is you don't necessarily want to put out there that you have these problems with this injury or that injury. Why? Well, because there's certain companies that when you go for the training, let the doctors discover that.
You got to understand something. Okay. So when somebody in WWE gets hurt, WWE gets to massage it and put it out. Okay, right. We're going to figure out how to do it. Well, Brittany Brooks had to cancel her show working Dreamwave or whatever it was in Chicago. If she doesn't say she's injured, she looks like she just no-showed. And now that could become a bad reputation.
Right. No, but you can say you're injured. But do you have to give away the full injury? Meaning that you can say there's an injury.
No, I get you. No, yeah, in that situation. But you know what? And some people, hey, want to let people know, hey, I fucked up my knee. But they're not thinking like, hey, you know, we got this storyline here and that one there. But it is that same situation of you have to go out there and you want to make sure you let people know that, because there are people in wrestling that we've dealt with that have used excuses or made up stuff.
Right,
to get out of something. Oh, I got hurt. Oh, really? I heard you were at the UFC show. Yeah. You know what I mean? Yeah. You know?
And that's also, you know, when you look at...
You know, that's what happened with the Porsche King.
Yeah. when you look at Brittany's personality, too, she's just genuine like that as well. So, I mean, that makes sense in those terms. Any chance we see Rochelle defending the FSW title against the LFC title?
Well, you know, we do have a very good working relationship with Sean at the LFC.
It might boost your numbers, Joe.
They just finished the boot camp. Yeah, you never know, you know. FSW versus the world. We're not leaving anybody out, you know. We'll go to the Apex and take on FSW versus NXT, you know, Ice Williams versus Shayna Baszler.
Yeah. Nice opportunity for everyone to be a part of that. That was wonderful to see.
Yeah, and again, it's all about experiences and being there, and you know, I'm not sure. You know, it's for everybody. You know, it's a role that is, you know, more people are going to be like, oh, yeah, that sucked because of this. It's really hard to do that role that they were put in and really shine in it. But, you know, they really brought the enthusiasm and the atmosphere, and Gabe messaged me. And I was just like, they're pounding the mat at the fucking NXT. Like, okay. But you know what? They were like, you know, getting the crowd into it and, you know, screaming and yelling. And it was definitely different than what I was wondering. Like, I didn't even understand. Like, hey, we need this many people and we need this. Who do you got? And I'm like, well, are they bumping? What do you, you know, I don't know if it's running. I have no idea. Nobody's right. disclosing to me what these people are going to do, right. you know. But, you know, they got in there and, you know, and even people that we haven't used in a while I saw, you know, because of being at FSW, Primo Genio got that spot because he was liked by Gabe.
Yeah.
You're welcome. You know, it's not, yeah. as I say, it's not always about the money.
No, absolutely.
Because guess what? What I didn't pay you for a school show, you got back from being on WWE and now being in their radar, which is far, far worth another $20, $30, $40, $50.
Right.
So.
And the catering. Know. And the catering is much better.
And the catering. Well, I heard they had to be in a certain area. You know, I don't know. Like, I couldn't get backstage. I don't know. I didn't have enough juice to get backstage.
As long as you had enough juice to get in the building, that's the
thing. I ended up giving my tickets to Mikey. Works hard. Need tickets. Wow. You know.
Yeah. Yeah. And that's great, you know. Because it really was a... it was an exciting atmosphere that was created. It's a nice little place. Looks like.
Yeah, it'd be awesome to do a show there, but, you know, that ain't happening.
Hey, you got to get in good with Dana.
Well, yeah, no, my kid, you know, I got to get in good with my kid, though, first.
Right.
And then, you know, since he's buddies, the YouTuber guy that I got him. Who's buddies with Dana, where they were filming at the Red Rock Casino.
Yeah.
So maybe he could talk to Dana.
Yeah. Maybe you'll, because Dana, I think, showed up in his Lambo. So he can maybe take a ride with Dana and negotiate in the Lamborghini.
You never know. Stranger bedfellows.
Or he can ride in your ride. And
hey, my Camry's a nice car. It's a hybrid.
And it looks like, you know, from some inside sources I have, it looks like NXT will potentially be making its way back here towards the end of the year. So it's nice to know that. They really are forming a working relationship, being that UFC is headquartered here.
And they are partners now. So, you know, yeah. it's a simple fact. And again, so this is what I hear. So 700, it has 700 seats. They only had 300 put out for the public.
Right.
And the rest were comped out. So again, right. It's a billion-dollar company. They're not worried about the gate,
right? Yep, and I think they're kind of testing the water too. I wouldn't be surprised if you could see the Performance Center staying in Florida and possibly NXT itself taping out here, and maybe even using the Apex as the place to tape. So, you know.
I think it's a little difficult. Not that money's an issue, but I just think that they have everything what they need right then and there. But it's definitely an option for other places, and Vegas is right there, you know, and they like Vegas.
Yeah.
And I'm pretty sure when NXT comes back for Mania, they're not going to be at a 700 seat Apex, you know.
Yeah, most likely they'll be at one of the arenas, you would assume, or at the FSW arena.
They could give them a good deal. I wonder if I'd be allowed backstage for that one.
Well, it depends what part of the alley you're standing in.
That's true. They might not be able to keep me out, but they might have armed security back there. You never know. They don't mess around. Yeah,
and the armed security is going to be Cody and Ice. And
you know, the funny thing, though, is like you go to New Japan show at Sam's Town. I just walk in the back and nobody even says a word to anything, to anybody. Right. Hey, what's up? Hey, how you doing?
Yep.
It's like it's Fort Knox with WWE.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. And mainly, quite honestly, this goes back quite some time. It really has to do with the leaking of information. And I think they, you know, in the late 90s, early 2000s, it was so easy to just go back and flash something that looks like a badge. And, you know, people would just be like, oh, yeah, go ahead. Now it's, you know, because of the internet, a lot of it did change, but it's very interesting too. When things start getting hotter, that's when things get tighter. When things start getting, you know, that lull in the business, things are a little looser backstage. So, you know, it's always an interesting ebb and flow with the WWE when it's hotter or not. So when you look at what's coming up with Shogun having to face someone who I think, you know, Danny's always have kind of a chip on his shoulder. We know that. He is a proven champion. You know, he's made his name for himself. He's been a part of AEW. He's been, you know, someone who has a lot of, you know, hours put in and build put in and brand recognition, just everything you could ask for in a wrestler. This is a big one for Shogun. Does Shogun prove himself, you know, that he belongs by, you know, showing that, you know, a guy like Danny Limelight has to bring everything if he's going to have a chance at taking that title from Shogun?
Well, yeah, you know, Danny Limelight, you know, is a survivor. You know, he survived Hammerstone and walked out of there with the victory. And not many people have been able to say that. Not an MLW, you know, Josh Alexander. In TNA, but he's pretty much been dominant everywhere he's been. Right. So, you know, Limelight, he loves the big stage. So, you know, he's wrestled Moxley. He's wrestled fucking Kenny Omega. Is like, he's wrestled Chris Bay. Shogun, like, that isn't going to faze him. You know, he beat Hammerstone in the same arena, you know, 5 months ago.
Right.
So, sorry. Keep thinking of No Escape in January. It was at the end of March. So, it was 2 months
ago. 2 months ago, right.
You know, so Shogun, as big as he is, as bad as he is, he won't be intimidating Danny Limelight. You know, right. Danny Limelight goes in there like, you need to beat me, kid.
Right.
He's been on that big stage. He's wrestled in front of 20,000 people. He's wrestled in the hostile territories of, you know, Mexico with AAA. He's wrestled in TNA. He's wrestled in MLW. He's wrestled in AEW. You know, what hasn't this guy done? You know, Shogun, he's been very dominant. From day one when he walked in, tag champion, heavyweight champion, Chris Bay's boy, you know, obviously Shogun, even though he hasn't had the accolades that Danny Limelight has, Shogun trains a couple days a week with Bay. He's not going to be intimidated. It isn't going to be like, oh, this is my first big fight. You know, he wrestled with his partner against Carlito and Masters.
Right.
And, you know, you couldn't look at that and be like, oh, yeah, this guy's out of his league. Not at all. That's why he's the heavyweight champion. You know, there hasn't been that many heavyweight champions in FSW. And the ones that have been, Ryan Cage, LA Knight, Karrion Kross, Chris Bay, Hammerstone, Graves. Those are all bad motherfuckers.
Yeah. Yeah.
So, you know, Shogun is just another one on that list. And to be honest with you, Danny Limelight is kind of the polar opposite. If you look at all these guys who've been that champion, Danny Limelight will skate by the, you know, where you're like, holy shit, this motherfucker won again. But he knows how to work. He's a veteran. He will take advantage of every minute opportunity that affords him.
Yeah. What does it mean to you if Danny becomes the new champion? I mean, he doesn't necessarily the rules. Does it become a headache for FSW to have his wild cardness around as champion?
Well, being, you know, that he is a fellow Puerto Rican, we have a good working relationship. So, and, you know, I actually pay Danny Limelight on time. So, you know, things are good in that manner. And he comes and he likes being a part of FSW. He's got people. He likes being in Vegas. You know, he's flamboyant, man. He likes coming in early and going to the pool and hanging out at the club after the show. So he loves Vegas. You know, the only issue is a guy of Danny Limelight's stature, if he becomes the champion, I'm going to have a little more work in store because he gets booked up. You know, he right. called me up actually the other day to let me know he got this a lead role in a movie. I'm like, oh, you're the main guy? He's like, oh, no, I'm one of the... It's called a lead role. You know, it's the top people or whatever. And he was able to get the producer to hold off because the shooting's in Rhode Island. And he was scheduled to shoot there on Sunday, June 23rd. And usually it's not something they really want to do, but they were able to accommodate him. So in the future, that's not always going to be expected. Just because they did it today doesn't mean they're doing it the next time. So between his bookings and all the other stuff, and obviously he's going to make FSW a priority, but the problem becomes when you're so busy doing things, all of a sudden the windows of the dates become, you know, less approachable. Right. You know, it was similar to the House of Glory show. So I just found out Hammerstone can't make that because I gave him, I'm like, hey, bro, we're looking at the House of Glory show, you know, maybe the weekend of the 10th. Okay, I'll hold that one off. And then we talked five different times because we knew we need to have Amazing Red and Santana from House of Glory. Right. And, you know, they have the same schedule as TNA, Santana, Hammerstone, Bay.
Right.
Because they all work there. And then we went back to a date. We weren't sure that was going to be the date because we were looking at Survival of the Fittest for August 18th or 25th. But because of the date working for August 17th, Hammerstone's like, bro, you told me the 9th, 10th, or 11th. I'm like, dude, I know. We had to change it 10 fucking different times. And we got it the 17th. So he won't be there, Hammerstone, for that date. But Limelight was good. Bay was good. Santana was good. You know, Amazing Red was good. And the rest of our crew obviously will make do. But the majority of our main guys were going to be good for it. So, you know, those are the potential issues of making the dates work. Like I got Survival of the Fittest. So now we had to move that. So I had the 15th or the 22nd. Didn't really want to do the 15th because that's Mexican Independence Day, and I'm still holding out hope to do some lucha stuff over at Prim that weekend. But even though it's the 15th, we could still do it there on a Friday or Saturday. That wouldn't be an issue. But the 15th was taken, so right now I had to lock in the 22nd. And, you know, I hit up a few people, and so far that looks like the date that's going to work. But there's so much other components that people don't really are aware of when understanding about putting shows together. And, you know, who in Vegas is running. And then it's like, oh, well, our guys are committed to them, and I get it. Or it's going to be an earlier show or whatever it is. It's like, you know, you try your best. Not that I'm the most accommodating person, but, you know, everybody's trying to do their thing. And I don't care, you know, who we run against in the past. We'd be like, oh, can't run against the WWE pay-per-view. Oh, can't run against the Golden Knights. Oh, you can't run against AEW. Oh, you can't run against Taylor Swift. Oh, this is Vegas. You're going to be running against multiple different things.
Right.
And, yeah, that's probably the reason why every casino show doesn't have 1,000 people, because we have more than 1,000 fans. But as good as the casino shows are, I hit up some people. Hey, I'm going to be in San Diego that weekend. I'd love to come. Can't make it.
Right.
Well, the ones who couldn't make it at No Escape were like, oh, yeah, that's a good date for me. I'm going to need 4 front rows. You know, so it's like that front row, if the majority of our people, because they only want front row, there'd be 300 or 400 people in the front row. Right. But because you can't make it, what's going on, who's working, I can't get off that day, blah, 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 blah. So, right. You know, you're hoping to get to that 500, 600 number, and then sometimes you're lucky because the extra fans, there's only so many fans, but the extra ones are the students who are wrestling, and now 6 or 7 people who would probably never go to a wrestling show are going because Adrian Rain made his debut. And John Trademark made his debut and he sold 12 tickets. And this guy sold 6 tickets. And all of a sudden, before you know it, 200 tickets were sold by these younger kids because, hey, family, hey, friends, I'm going to be on a casino show. And it's not hot. Hey, you can go eat, you can go gamble, you can drink. It's a night out, as I've always said. I have so many fans who they don't refuse, but there's always a casino show. Oh, okay. Like, unless it's a really big deal, like when we did Natural Born Killers, when we did FSW GCW, there were some people who normally don't go to a school show who did because they didn't look at it as an FSW school show. They looked at it as an event. And that's also part of the process of wanting to do FSW versus House of Glory and FSW, because normally a Joey Janela, a Gringo Loco, a Maine, you know, we had the best of the best, Nick Gage, working at a school show. We're going to have Santana. We're going to have Amazing Red.
Right.
It's going to be a school show. You know, that is, you know.
Yeah.
Usually because it's not affordable. You got to pay people.
Yeah,
and,
of
you know,
course.
The student wrestlers, the younger wrestlers, the FSW wrestlers understand, hey, it's the school show, Hammerstone, Bay, they understand. But if I want to book Matt Cardona, he don't give a shit if it's the school show or the fucking casino show. You want me to work your show? It's this. So.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah,
you know, if House of Glory wants to bring in Matt Cardona, I guarantee you, I'll get Hammerstone to switch out that other show.
Reach out to Ricochet yet?
I'm holding off. I was going to, but I'm like, his contract ain't up yet. But you know, I know the number's going to be crazy. Not crazy, but crazy for us wanting to do it even at a casino.
Crazy.
You know, for what I've seen what the Eliases and the Mustafa Alis and a lot of these guys want, they're in the thousands of dollars. Ricochet was a main player. Ricochet could go back to New Japan and make a lot of money. Go to AEW, make a lot of money. So he ain't going to be like, hey, Joe, you had my girlfriend's, my fiance's brother training for you at a discount rate. Okay, I'll instead of charging, say, $5,000, I'll charge you $500. That ain't happening. We ain't that tight just because I used him in the IWF in 2013. And he knows me well for, knows me for 12 years. He's still going to get his price. Right. I might get a discount. I don't have to fly him in. I don't got to get him a hotel. But what is the value? You know, we have those issues with a lot of those younger guys in WWE. They get released. Right. And they're trying to, in the Northeast, and there's some bigger areas that are going to pay them far more than I paid Matt Hardy. And it's like, wow, you're not even close to what, a Matt Hardy brings to the table. But because they're getting it elsewhere, or a Dolph Ziggler. Hey, I'm making my money doing this. I'm making my money doing that. Super nice guy. We talked. We chatted. Hey, it's a possibility. But, this is what I'm kind of looking for. Because from what the records show, Dolph Ziggler was $1 million a year guy. What does he need to go wrestle a show for $1,000 for?
Yeah.
He doesn't. So unless, unless you're Sammy Callahan and John Moxley's your buddy.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? It's like.
True.
Even Cross, when he got released, I still had to pay him the most I ever paid him before. It was a better deal than he's going to give everybody else. But he still has to earn. Because what if he gets hurt? Now he's fucked. And then he did it for a fucking, I didn't pay dues for a while. I'm going to do it for Joe for free. No. And then he gets hurt. Now what?
Right.
Now this guy's lost his income. He's going to make sure he's going to get his money. And again, I'm under the end of it.
Right.
What was that?
Well, I was going to say, Cross, I have no problem getting any kind of acting job with that hair, so. He gets hurt. He's still got a career down the road, man.
He could be the next Jason Momoa. I don't know. Who thought John Cena would be like an A-list actor?
Some of us. But that's only because John had that. Yeah, John had that in him back in the early 2000s when he was
anybody thought John Cena would be like killing it in Peacemaker and the movies he's done. It's like, okay, here we go. He's going to be another Rock. Sure he is. And it's like, he's right at that level. Every time you hear a commercial, this motherfucker's on it. He's like the new Shaq.
Yeah.
Every commercial.
Yeah, it's impressive. That's what you can do. And Cross could get there.
Danny Limelight.
He's got the hair now. I'm
going to say I knew him when.
Hey, man.
Yeah. Limelight's going to have our hair soon.
Yeah.
He's getting close. He's getting close already.
He's getting close. Thank God he can easily play a Marine,
it's crazy, man. I knew I was losing my hair, but man, at 29, 30, I had a great fucking set of hair. Then it fucking went downhill. But like my kid at like 20, it was like, oh, he's going bald quick.
Yeah.
See it with Limelight.
I was there too. Yeah. It either hits.
I had the mullet to look good, but you could start seeing where the line was starting to recede at 30, but the rest of the hair, and then as the thing receded, then the the black hole in the middle of your head would continually grow and grow until there was nothing there. The Sally look. Like when I knew Sally and I would thought he was like, you know, 35, it turned out he was like 23. Like, holy shit.
26.
You one bald motherfucker.
Yeah, you look at Sal and you see the it's almost like a reverse picture book when you look at his pictures and you just go, wow, you've went from 42 to 23. Yeah, very cool.
And for the Hall of Fame, we got Sally's going to induct Pauly. Still working on Cross. I actually talked to him a few days back. Hopefully he'll send a video. I'm like, hey, you don't have to put over Pauly. You could put over FSW in our 15 years. That'd be cool, too. Any little video would be wonderful. Looks like Chris Bay is going to induct Kenny King. I think I'm going to have a little opening salvo that I'll be tossing out since I know Kenny since 1999. And it looks like Remy Marcel will be the one inducting George Furman.
Nice.
And then the question become: is there a fourth? Will Matt Hardy be the fourth? I don't know. Only if he's, you know, it's kind of like Batista couldn't be there, so they didn't induct him.
Right.
It's like we're not going to induct Matt Hardy if he can't even send video or be there. So he's on hold.
Yeah.
And I've been on hold for about 9 months, still waiting. I'm 13th in the queue.
Well, I mean, with so many TNA stars on the anniversary show, you would figure that Matt should figure his way in, right? It's like,
you know, I mean, he's kind of got
no excuse.
I got almost fooled by Facebook. Like, oh, Matt Hardy, big announcement. He's going to be in that battle royal in NXT. And it's like, you know, it's plausible. But it was like, I had to search. And it was like, yeah, I don't see it anywhere. Like, there's so much shit that it's like, that ain't real.
Yeah. Maybe, you know what? Maybe you're going about it wrong. Don't induct Matt. Induct his son.
Yeah. And I saw Disco.
Because then that would be a special thing, you know?
I saw Disco. He was there with...
What's Disco up to? Are we seeing...
Nah, Disco's still kind of banged up, but he's going to be in Atlanta that weekend. I hit him up for a special anniversary edition of the Lava Lounge. And, we had a special guest WWE superstar at training a couple days back. Dominic Mysterio was in town.
Nice.
You know, he didn't bring any of his ladies, but he was there with Disco.
Oh man, you know, it's got to be such a letdown, be around Rhea and around Liv, and then to be
around Maserati. Yeah, I'll tell you.
And then be with Disco.
You know, many people believe Disco was the best trainer, one of the best trainers we ever had. They love Disco.
Oh, no one's saying anything about his training abilities, but, you know, put those young ladies in a line and then you put Disco.
Well, yeah, obviously. But Disco's up in his 50s now. He's still in tremendous shape, I'll tell you that.
Yeah, he does look good.
Must be going to the cryo chamber at Rush's Riotan.
Well, if he's going out to Atlanta, he might be stopping by to see my boy DDP. So, you know.
Who?
DDP?
Bell Bib DeVoe? Oh, there you go.
Yeah.
They said BBD.
BBD, yes. Of course. That dated reference brought to you by the 1980s.
What's talking about? New Edition, live in concert. They're of residency in Vegas now. They're relevant again. I thought they were better than Boys to Men myself.
Oh, man. All right. So as we wrap up this week, you know, getting closer. Any final thoughts going into the last weekend before the anniversary show?
No, I'm excited. We got, you know, all the big name guys there, you know, with the cash in the case ladder match. I'm excited. You know, Matt Vandegrift, Eli Everfly, Braxton, Dante King getting his first opportunity, you know, to be in that match. So we're excited about that. Damian Drake, it's interesting to see the video that him and Mikey put together. And, you know, he's basically, you know, you got to take some credit for things. And I got to give him credit because, you know, for a while, you know, he exposed himself. You know what I mean? He wasn't being successful and he was all over the place. And now and trying to talk to him back then about it. It was a difficult process, you know, when you're frustrated because you haven't gotten anything and you're not performing, it's hard to look in the mirror and not try to blame somebody else, which he did. Right. And now he's having success. Why? Because he stepped back and he's like, you know what? I got to focus. I was more worried about this. I was disappointed because, you know, he was that guy. He was the prodigy before Bodie.
Right.
And he had that success. No Limits Champion. Oh, reinvented himself. The Unguided was phenomenal. That the crowd got behind it. And then they had their influx issues. And the biggest downfall was his injury and the rise of Matt Vandegrift when Damian Drake was injured. And, you know, sometimes you get bad advice. They made up, that, you know, they've worked together, and you could still see the synergy that they have, you know, just right. From go watch FSW GCW 2 and go watch the six-man with Bodie in there. And, you know, to this day, my partner, Jake Black, you know, feels that's the best match he's ever seen in the FSW arena. So the skill level was always there, but when you're going through the motions and as good as Fox Valentine is, and he's way better now than he was 6 months ago, but 6 months ago he beat Damian Drake in a singles match. So, you know, sometimes you mail it in. Sometimes, you know, you go through the motions because you want to blame me for you not getting to where you're at. And that's always been the biggest downfall. And in a lot of cases, once you start, you start that sink, you drown. Not a lot of people come back from the sinking. So we're going to see big match for him against Bodie on the at the anniversary show. So, you know, it's there's a lot of good shit.
Yeah, it's a huge match for him. And let's also say it. It's a big match for Bodie too. Because
you know, he's coming up, but you know what? Bodie's beaten Limelight. Bodie's beaten Gregory Sharp. Those are considered two of the top wrestlers in FSW.
Yeah.
Two of the top wrestlers on the West Coast.
Yeah. And the thing is, you know, is it sustainable? You know, when you have now someone who really will probably go to any mean necessary to prove that Bodie isn't what he's all cut out to be, and that the fans were all wrong about Damian Drake. It's going to be a very intense match, and you know, let's hope Bodie's ready for, you know, what Damian is going to bring, because it's going to be, you know, a lot of frustration coming out on the kid.
Yeah, no doubt about it. And then, you know, over the last couple of months, some tag teams have kind of risen to the ranks. The MK Army, the Regulators, obviously the Champions, Sky High, Class and Reno kind of failed in their attempts at singles titles. And starting to put things back together. And even on the horizon, you know, the golden era, Dave Dutra and Wise Guy have been very impressive. You know, talking about Let It Ride or High Octane, sorry, this past weekend. You know, to me, that was the match of the night. Makeshift Chemistry against the golden era. Dutra and Wise Guy proved that they are a top-notch tag team, but Makeshift Chemistry proved they're a top-notch tag team. You know, fast forward a year from today and talking about the anniversary for the 16th anniversary, you know, it would not shock me that Makeshift Chemistry is either the tag team champions or battling for the title at that show next year.
Right.
And that's going to be an elimination match. So I'm pretty sure the golden era is kind of sitting in wait since, you know, they got hot late. We just didn't have a spot for them in the elimination match. So, you know, but they're raring to go. The first show after the anniversary on July 6th, they were already penciled in to be there. So I wouldn't be shocked if they confront whoever the tag team champions are after that. So, and then what we saw was the Sugar Brown is returning. Pretty big deal.
Yeah.
You know, he didn't seem to want to get involved, was content with the producer stuff, helping at the shows, you know, helping at training with Remy. But those guys go way back to the China days with Jacob Boston Young and Clutch and all those guys. And when he made the call, they were there. And, you know, I coined them the Brotherhood because they were talking about between Cody and Jake and brother this and, you know, throwing that name together. But it means a lot. Those guys have been together since 2017. They were training every day and living in China. So taking on Bateman and Cody and Andy Delgado and whatever combination is going to be there for their fourth Alice Blair or Lazarus, it's going to be an eight-man tag. Yeah. And from what we've seen so far, you know, that's definitely not the the match I want to leave to go to the bathroom for, because I'm pretty sure it's going to get pretty violent between those guys.
Yeah. There isn't anyone in that match who has a problem with putting their body through something extreme and wearing any type of blood on their face, except maybe Jake.
You know, and it's funny, as I was doing commentary for that match, and it was like all of a sudden I'm looking and I have the RMB, the Following, and the Whirlwind Gentlemen all in the ring together. Now, those guys have gone through wars amongst each other. And obviously, Cody's on the other side as part of the Following. But it's crazy to see that that's what also formed the Brotherhood, was the bond of the crazy matches that they had. I remember getting yelled at Sam's Town when the RMB were wrestling the Whirlwind Gentlemen. It was like a false count anywhere, no DQ. And these fucking idiots went to the back where the food was, and they were grabbing the spoons and forks and throwing them at each other. And I got yelled at Sam's Town. And it's like, dude, do you want the $3 for the fucking spoons? Like, come on. These guys, I remember the Jason guy was going nuts. All right, stick them in the dishwasher. Jesus. Like you would think that they set the room on fire.
Yeah. You know, it's imagine if it was glass tubes, right?
Yeah, you know, we've done the nicest things there,
right? You know, it's like, oh, come on, it's cutlery. Stop it.
Yeah.
Oh boy.
Well, you know, it is what it is. Everybody's doing you a favor, so that, you know that. You know, they act like they're going to throw it. So you're not going to take my money because they threw some forks on the floor.
Right. Oh, man. All right. So we'll wrap it up here for this week and get a chance to talk a little bit next week going into the anniversary show. And at that point, pretty much what's going on with the women's match. Hopefully.
Hopefully we'll have another update.
Yeah, and maybe an idea on that possible fourth person for the Hall of Fame. Maybe Senior Benjamin. Maybe that's how you get Matt out here, is to induct his father-in-law.
It's definitely possible.
Or, is it possible just to have the drone? You can have that drone that they use, the TNA, and it can just take Matt's place.
Wanting drones, wanting overhead cameras. You know, if we're going to stay at the facility, we're going to actually, I think we're going to do a major upgrade once the new lease is signed.
Oh, man. Well, there you have it for now, everybody. Thanks for tuning in. And until next time, we'll see you then.